Good morning, and thank you for being here this morning, leading those excellent songs. We are indeed following the way of the cross because we want to get home. And this world is not our home. I've been talking this month about knowing your enemy. And I've talked about Satan. And I've talked about demons. And these spiritual beings are our enemies. They want to destroy us and are working hard to do that. But we have a champion. We have Jesus Christ, our Savior. And through faith in Him, and by following the way of the cross, we will defeat our enemies and we will get home. But it's a challenge, and we not only have Satan and his immediate followers to contend with, we have, in fact, an entire world. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. Know your enemy. The world is our enemy. Now that sounds harsh, I know. The Bible uses the word world to refer to lots of different things. It uses it to refer to the natural world, the cosmos, the universe. And the natural world is not really our enemy, although sometimes it certainly feels like it is. When you're having to battle an illness or bad weather. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. And the Bible uses the word world to refer to all of the people in the world, and there's a sense in which they're not our enemy. In fact, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so I'm not saying all the people in the world are our enemy. But there is another sense in which the word world is used in the New Testament. And it refers to all those aspects of the world which are under the power of Satan and who follow his lead. And the minds and the hearts and the attitudes and the actions of those who follow the lead of Satan. And in that sense, the world is our enemy. And we need to know it. And we need to fight. First of all, think about it this way. The world is under the influence of evil. That's not a hard conclusion to come to. The scriptures certainly tell us that. Our struggle, the passage we've read already in this series, our struggle, and we have a struggle, we have a fight. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so there is array against us, the devil and his angels, the demons, the influence of evil, and it bears against our soul, against our very lives. And we have to fight it spiritually. We don't take up arms and go kill people. We don't blow people up with bombs in order to win this struggle. We take the truth of the gospel to a lost and dying world, and we apply it in our own lives and are saved by it. We're saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have to embrace it. We have to follow it. And the devil doesn't want us to do that. And the world, under the influence of the devil, doesn't want us to do that. And so that it will try to influence us and persuade us not to follow Jesus Christ. And that's our struggle. Our struggle is against the world forces of darkness. And unlike all of the fictitious struggles of all of the imaginations of Hollywood, this struggle is real, and it's consequential. And our soul is on the line, and the souls of everybody that we know is on the line, and there is a fight going on. And it's a fight in the world and from the world, and we need to know about it. We need to engage in it. Jesus came to save us from the world. And it says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are from the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And again, that's not hard to imagine. When we watch the news, when we see all the evil and the corruption, the hatred, the violence, the world lies within the power of the evil one. That's the world that we're talking about, the world that is our enemy. I like many aspects of living in this world. I enjoy the beauty of it. I enjoy many aspects of culture. I like going to movies. I like going to a nice restaurant. I enjoy watching a ball game. I enjoy having friends and talking with them and spending time with them, family certainly. But there is an aspect of this world that is corrupted by the devil. And it will use anything and everything, including all of those things that I just described, to try to entrap my soul. And I need to know that. I need to know that as nice as many things about this world may be, this world is not my home. I don't want to stay here forever. And ultimately, this world is going to be destroyed, and I don't want to be destroyed with it. That's the struggle that we have. There's no trick to recognize the devil as your enemy. When you think about the devil, okay, the devil's my enemy. Or to think about the demons as your enemies, yes, they're your enemies. But this world, yeah, this world is your enemy in many, many ways. It's what you need to think about. There's, of course, a lot of evil in the world. The Lord looked down upon the world before the days of the flood, and He just saw evil everywhere. We see evil and it bothers us. We see someone murder or maim or hurt somebody else or abuse a child or commit a heinous crime, and that is repugnant to us. It's evil. Somebody blows up a bunch of innocent people in a marketplace, that's evil. But think about it from God's perspective. Think about God in His absolute purity, looking down upon this world and into the hearts and minds of every single human being, and the evil that He sees, the selfishness, the bitterness, the little petty jealousies, and all of it, God sees that and He's repelled by it. We have to kind of learn that sensitivity. Because a lot of times we get so used to it. We're sewer people who live in the sewer. And we get used to the smell and the sights and the scenery of the sewer. And it becomes common and regular and comfortable. We get comfortable living in the sewer. But we can't. We can't get comfortable living in the sewer. Think about this passage, John 3:19. This is the verdict that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We live in a world of darkness. But again, we've grown accustomed to the low light level. And when the bright light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus shines, we shut our eyes to it because it's blinding. We're not used to it. Because we have darkness in us. We have to learn to slowly get our eyes used to looking at that light. You know how it is when you first wake up in the morning and you just can't hardly, but you force yourself to open your eyes and to see that light because you don't want to live in darkness. You want to see. Jesus is that light. And is it any doubt, any wonder why the world doesn't like Jesus? And this dark world we live in, more and more is turning away from Him because our deeds are evil. Or this passage, that talks about the benign parts of life, the parts that don't seem like they're evil, they seem fine. You know, work, hobbies, entertainment, the day-to-day necessities of life, these things aren't evil, right? Well, I want you to think about it this way. Matthew 13:22, Jesus in the parable of the sower and the seed, He says, you know, the seed fell among some places in the field that had thorns growing in it. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Well, the cares of the world. Don't we have to care about the world? Care about making a living? Got to care about taking care of our homes and our health, take care of our families, take care of business. Yeah, we have to do all of those things. And it wouldn't be nice to be a little rich, would it? I mean, it wouldn't be bad to be a little rich. Wouldn't be too unwelcome. And yet all of these things that seem benign in and of themselves, they can become, when we let them take over, and they become our whole life and everything that we are. They're the enemy. We don't see them that way. It's kind of like living behind enemy lines. I've always enjoyed reading stories about war and about how certain fellows who would get behind enemy lines and have to survive and have to make their way through enemy territory and escape, maybe from a prison camp or something. It's intriguing. And the thing that you know when you're behind enemy lines is that you're always in danger. Every single moment, someone may spot you, may recognize you, and all of the enemy's resources will be brought to bear against you, and you have no help. You're on your own. You're behind enemy lines. Well, in a very real sense, brethren, we are behind enemy lines in this world. And the devil will use everything, including all of those things, those benign things that I'm talking about, your work and the things that you enjoy, and they'll even use your family against you. Because we're supposed to be living spiritual lives and pursuing spiritual things, the worship of God, praying to God, learning from God, practicing our Christianity. And life in this world gets in the way of all of that. And I'm not saying that we should abandon our jobs. We can't do that. And we abandon our families. We're not supposed to do that. But we need to know the threat that these things pose to our spiritual life. The world is our enemy. We need to do what's right. We need to take care of our responsibilities. But we need to realize that worldliness is thinking that this world is all there is. And when you start thinking that way, you get comfortable behind enemy lines. You take up with the enemy and you settle down and you become one of the enemy. We can't do that. We must see the true nature of the world, and the true nature of the world is that it is temporary and it is full of evil, and it is not our home. We have to see its true nature. Romans 12 and verse 2. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. You know, you live in this world, and the way it talks, and the way it thinks, and its ambitions, and its goals, they seep into your head, and you think like the world thinks. And the way the world thinks is, I got to make more money, and I got to get a better car, and I got to get a better house, and I got to enjoy this pastime, because these are the things that are important, and these are the things that matter. That's the way the world thinks. And the way the world thinks is that sin is pleasant and pleasurable, and who wouldn't want more pleasant and pleasurable? That's the way the world thinks. And you hang around the people in the world, and the people in the world think that way, and they act that way, and they talk that way, and that's the way the media presents things. Everything in the media is the viewpoint of the world, and you start conforming. Because we're conforming creatures, it's natural for us to want to be like everybody else around us. It's a social phenomenon. Fit in. Go along. That's the enemy. That is the enemy. Don't be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to go through that constant process of being cleansed of worldly thinking so that you can see the truth. That what God wants, that God's will is true and right and honorable and beautiful, and it's eternal in its goodness. And when this world is long gone, and all of the stuff that people work for, and all of the things that matter and are important to people in the world, when all of it's gone, the only thing that's going to matter is the will of God. And whether or not I adhered to it in my life. That's what we got to remind ourselves of constantly. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In their case, talking about the unbelievers, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's true. I don't think many people in the world, non-religious people, I don't think they even see Christ. I mean, they have in their own imagination, this image, this idea of who Christ was and what he did. And it's all over the place, I'm sure, but it's not the truth. See, the only way that you can really see Christ honestly and truthfully is to be fully exposed to the gospel of his word and to reflect upon it and come to understand it. And that takes opening your eyes. It takes looking at it. And the more you look at it, and the more you become accustomed to that light, the more you see the truth of it. But if you don't want to see the truth of it, you're not particularly attracted to it, you close your eyes, you live in blindness, you live in darkness. And that can happen to us if we don't keep looking at Christ. And we let the world spoil our thinking, darken our hearts. We got to fight it, brethren, we got to fight it. Again, this passage, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We don't want to kill anybody. We don't want to engage in violence. But we have a fight. And that fight is against darkness and the powers of darkness and the world forces of darkness. And we've got to engage in that fight. We've got to fight. Jesus says, I have said these things to you. The night before he was crucified, he said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now that's a wonderful thought. You know, our ability to overcome the world is secured by his overcoming the world. That's where it all lies. We can take heart. In this world, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be tribulation. It's going to be heartache. The world's not going to understand. The world's going to put pressure on us. It's not going to be easy. But we can still have peace. How can we have peace in the midst of tribulation? Because Jesus has overcome the world. You know what Jesus did on the cross? On the cross, Jesus completely blows away the mindset of the world. You think about the way the world looks at things. Does anybody in the world think the way that Jesus was thinking in giving his life on the cross? To do the will of God and to turn your back on everything that is comfortable and pleasant, and to allow yourself to be beaten and whipped and nailed to a piece of wood and to hang there and die, and to do that by choice in order to say, I do God's will. And I turn my back on the world of the flesh and of comfort and pleasantness and all of those things that the world cares about. Jesus said, I don't care about those things. I care about what's right and bringing forgiveness and compassion and love. Not about the flesh, not about the world, this world. Man, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You know, that's exactly the same thing we've got to do. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. When we practice our faith, when we worship, when we pray, when we do acts of kindness and charity for each other and for people in the world in the name of Jesus Christ, when we have peace of mind in the midst of this tribulation because we absolutely trust God and we trust the one who hung upon the cross for our sins, that is practicing our faith. And when we do that, we beat the world. We beat the world. And that's what we need to do. When we refrain from sin, when we say, no, I'm not going to commit that sin. I'm not going to do that. I know that there would be pleasure in that. I know that there would be something in that that is intriguing to my flesh. I'm not going to do that. Practice our faith. We overcome the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. The world has hated them, Jesus prays, on the night before his crucifixion. He prays for his disciples. He says, the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We're here temporarily. We're just passing. We're pilgrims. We are here on a temporary visa, and we are not going to stay. So we don't want to get comfortable. We don't want to act like this is our home. They are not of the world, Jesus says, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Jesus sends us into the world, but he sends us armed with the truth of the word of God, the truth of the gospel. And as long as we keep that in our heart and it frames all of our thinking and our attitude and our approach to life and our approach to the world, we'll get through this world. We'll be all right. We are not to think like the world. 1 John 4, 5, they are from the world or speak from the viewpoint of the world and the world listens to them. Talking about the false teachers, the people who would use the world to corrupt us. So they think like the world, they talk like the world. That's not us. We're not to want the world, even to become enamored of the world, to love the world, to get comfortable with it, to think that this is all that there is. 1 John 2:15, don't love the world. You know, there are a lot of things in this life I like. I've talked about scuba diving. I really like scuba diving, but that's not my life. I like a good bowl of ice cream. It's a little bit of who I am, but that's not who I am. I like lots of things in life. I like a job well done. Yeah. But this world, I don't love this world. I'm not enamored of this world. Don't love the world. Love the Father. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not from the Father. It's from the world. And we can so easily succumb to those things. Most people do. What matters to them is things that they see, the things they desire in this world, their own ego and pride. That's everything to them. But those things, they're nothing. This passage goes on to say, for all that is in the world is passing away. It's passing away. But he who does the will of the Father in heaven abides forever. You adulterous people, James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, this is not saying that you can't have friends who are non-Christians. That's not saying that. What it's saying is that there is this world that is in the power of the devil. And its thinking and its attitude and its approach and its goals, we can't make friends with that. Certainly not with the sin and the immorality. We cannot make friends with that. That is not who we are. And we're not certainly not to act like it. This passage we read in the scripture reading this morning, Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Can't act like the world either. World's your enemy. In conclusion, this world is not our home. It's not. Don't get too comfortable. Develop a healthy discomfort with living in the world. Remind yourself every day, I don't want to be here. I want to be with my Father in heaven. There's some good things in this life, no denying that. I can enjoy a little bit of this, enjoy a little bit of that, but altogether, I'm not comfortable here. A lot of people are that way, aren't they? They go on trips, they go places, they see lots of neat things, but they just don't feel comfortable until they get home and they can relax. Oh, okay. Now I can feel comfortable. We should never feel that comfortable here in this life. This world is not our home. The world is not our guide. It's not supposed to be the, it's a very common thing. You hear the news, you listen to, you get on those websites and you get this echo chamber going of this way of looking at things. It's worldly. It's a lot of times it's immoral. And you just kind of get into that mode of thinking. There is nobody on the internet who should be telling you what to think about life. There is nothing on the TV that should be telling you how you should be thinking about life. There's nobody in your workplace and in your circle of friends who are outside of the church who should be guiding you in how you think about your life. This world is not our goal. It's not where we're wanting to set our goal. We need to remind ourselves of this every single day, every day. The world's our enemy. We need to see it, know it, act like it. So, amen. Thank you. If you, in your heart, in your mind, this morning. You know that. You know that this world is in the power of the devil. And the devil is using the world against you. And you're struggling in your own heart, in your own mind, as a Christian this morning, with the knowledge that you've kind of set up shop in the world. You've kind of made the world your home. And you have been friends with the world and have made yourself an enemy of God. And you need to correct that. You need to straighten that out. You can do that, you know, just in your own heart. You can just say a prayer to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I have been too close to the world and I've been too far away from you. If you've left the church and you've been out there in the world and you've not been living right, you need to make that clear to everybody else. You need to say, you know, I've done wrong. Because we need to see that. We all need to see each other live right. And if you're not a Christian, and you know this world is passing away and the lusts thereof, but the one who does the will of the Father abides forever, and you know that in your heart, give your life to that one who died on that cross, who said no to the world, who overcame the world. Give your heart to him by obeying the gospel. And what you can do is you can declare your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized in water. And you go down in that water laden with the sins of the world, and you come up out of it pure and whole by the sacrifice of Jesus. And if you want to do that this morning, become a Christian. Come forward and declare war against the world. Come forward and say so as we stand and sing.
Pray. Our dear, gracious, and righteous Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this quiet hour that we've been able to gather here and to commemorate the death of your Son and our Savior, who gives us faith and hope of an eternal life in this avenue for prayer. We ask that you would be with each of us, every individual, every family, here this morning as we go out into this world. Help us to not be conformed. Help us to live in a way that would separate ourselves and be an example, and that we may bring others to you. Forgive us of those times we fail to be who we should be out in this world. Help us to strengthen ourselves and to help one another. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.